Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On this day in 1976, scientists in Pasadena, California, announced that the spacecraft Viking 1 had found the, quote, strongest indications to date of possible life on Mars. Sounds pretty sincere. 20 years later, to the very day, in 1996, the researchers formally presented their case from this evidence for the existence of life long ago on Mars. Today, 40 years and millions of dollars later, scientists are still looking for evidence of life on Mars. Maybe the latest Mars rover will write the final chapter in this story, but I somehow doubt it. If they ever do find life on Mars, I can tell you that with absolute certainty, that life has the very same creator as life here. The evangelist writes, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." And with the church of all times we have confessed, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible." It is absolutely remarkable how many people in this world are looking for meaning, enrichment, and for the answers to the big questions of life out in the stars, in outer space, in distant lands, or in the depths of the sea. Through science and mathematics, in tired, empty philosophies, or by mind-altering drugs. All the while, the answers and the meaning and the enrichment that they seek are easily accessible and are indeed in plain view, for God has revealed them. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. But as the evangelist says, it is by faith that we understand the meaning and the author of life. And this faith is itself a miracle created out of nothing, just as the creation of the heavens and the earth. Your faith is the work of the same creator as the one who formed and gave life to all things visible and invisible in the first place. This faith cannot be found on Mars, not in the void of outer space or in the depths of the sea, but in Christ alone, by the hearing of his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. What is this faith? It's not just mere intellectual belief that there's some sort of higher power out there, up there. That's not the faith of which the evangelist speaks. That is not saving faith. Biblical saving faith is faith in the one true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has revealed himself to us in his word. The Holy Spirit, through the word, leads us to know Jesus and all that he had to suffer and do in order to save us from sin and death. And this Jesus that the Holy Spirit has introduced us to through the word, the crucified and resurrected one, is the revelation of God's love for his creation. He teaches us that of all the created things in the universe, mankind, you are the very crown of his creation, made in his image and likeness. Believing this is the gospel faith. It is the biblical saving faith in Christ. Believing this does not mean that we are against ethical scientific study. It does not mean that we are against exploration and greater understanding of the creation in which we live. It does not mean that we know all things. but neither does it mean that we are uneducated rubes. It does mean, however, that we start our exploration and our education and study of created things from a different foundation. We start by trusting that God's word is true and that the creation does pour forth speech, that it does reveal God's glory as he says, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that true knowledge and wisdom comes not from philosophy or science, but only from the Creator. The evangelist also says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. No matter how much we try, we cannot, by ourselves, by our own actions, by our best good works and effort, seek, find, or please God. It's impossible, God says, because we are fallen and corrupted by sin. Even our best good works are like filthy rags. God is not pleased when we seek answers in his creation by our faulty wisdom and understanding apart from him, which is idolatry and unbelief, which is to put ourselves in his place. He is not pleased when we write him out of his creation and put ourselves onto his throne. He is pleased when we recognize our weakness and sin, and when we have faith in his Son, when we trust what he has said about himself and his creation, what he has said about us and our condition, and what he has said about his Son, our Savior from sin. If we cannot trust what God says about how he formed the heavens and the earth, about how he brought forth life, then how are we to trust him concerning the more important things, about the seriousness of our sin, and the hugeness of his grace, or about our justification in Christ and eternal life for those who believe in him? God is either God at all times and of all things, or he is not God at all. He can forgive and save you, or he can do nothing to help you. You can either trust him entirely, or you can't trust him at all. I can't prove to you that you can trust what God says. Only God, the Holy Spirit, does that. That is, after all, why we call it faith and a gift from God. For faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. Abel's sacrifice was received because it was made in faith, while Cain's was made only out of obligation. Enoch pleased God by faith and did not see death, but walked with God. Noah trusted God's word and built the ark, and his family was delivered from destruction. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went to a distant land and was declared righteous by this faith. By faith, Sarah conceived and bore a son, though she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had made the promise. The list goes on and on. They all sought God in his word where he is to be found, and they trusted in his promises, and he blessed and saved them. These are all recorded and given to us as examples that we too would seek God in his word where he has revealed himself to us, that we would trust in him and in his promises above all things. These are given to us that as we look into the skies, we would look in awe at what our God has done and wait with great expectation for his return to judge the living and the dead and to take us home. These examples were given that we would know and respect life and the giver of life, so that as we look into the depths of the womb, we would see a miracle. We would see one created in God's image and likeness, no matter what the circumstances of their conception. As we look at the elderly, we would see one blessed by God with long life, who is filled with wisdom, whose life is yet valuable to the Creator. But as we look at the sick and the weak and the poor, we would see those for whom Christ has given his life. While we as a world are busy looking for strength and wisdom and power in outer space, God shows us a little child who firmly believes in his Savior, who knows right from wrong, and in him we see God's power made perfect in weakness. While we seek knowledge and understanding and to be first in all things, God shows us how the poor, despised, and uneducated all over the world are hearing the gospel and believing in Christ and being saved from eternal suffering and death. While we look for life on other planets and spectacular signs in the heavens above to prove God's existence to us, he comes to us and creates living faith out of nothing by means of simple words and water. While we strive for food to fill our bellies, he gives his own body as bread and his blood as wine to nourish and save our souls. While we are looking for a powerful leader, he points us to his son. The meaning of life is not out there, not up there. It's not even in here. The meaning of life is right here. It's right there. Right here. There on the cross. Right in this building, where two or three are gathered together in Christ's name, believing and trusting in him for eternal life and salvation. There's much to learn out there, much to study, much to enjoy. But none of that matters as much as this. Nothing is more important than this. Consider the ravens. Are you not more valuable than they? Consider the lilies and the grass of the field and King Solomon and all of his glory. Are you not clothed in greater splendor by Christ's righteousness? Consider Christ, the very Word of God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you in your mother's womb. He recreated you in holy baptism. He put his name on you. He has caused you to trust in him. He has given up his body and blood and life for you. He has forgiven your sins, and he loves you. Can we even comprehend that? The author of all things, the creator of the majestic heavens and the earth, he knows your name. He knows you. And he loves you. You are that special and that important to him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.